everybody. And thank y'all all so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I'm not alone. It's the man I have legitimately not seen in a week. And I think I've spoken to him once for like 20 minutes in that week. Mr. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm back in Skeleton Studios.
Dude, you have been a ghost.
I know. I apologize for that.
I don't even know where you've been.
It's been some time since we put out a podcast. I got busy, right? Everybody gets a vacation. I needed a break.
But
we took a break. We had a lot of things going on. We had the 4th of July. We had my wife's birthday.
But I also knew it was coming because you and your wife went on a little trip out of town.
Yeah.
And come back and you were like, I'm afraid every time I do this, something. And then I guess the floodgates open, dude, because you've been in the Metroplex for like, I know, because I'd be like, hey, what time did you get home? You're like 9:30 tonight, bro. I'm just what is going on?
You know, for those that don't know, that podcasting, unfortunately, isn't my full-time job. I have a full-time job. Podcasting is what I do when I'm not, because I like talking about these subjects. But yeah, I took a little break, so I'm back.
Dude, yeah, you've been, well, you took a break from this. That's from the problem. Right. Yeah, because you've been busy as all get out, so. That's good though. So look, it kept you out of trouble. You look good. You look healthy.
Hey man, thanks.
You look like
I got some sun.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Got out. Been out there just grinding.
We went on a hunting trip. It was pretty fun.
Nice. Well, yeah, no killing. Just out there, just hanging out.
That's why
it's called hunting.
We went hunting. We didn't. The hogs never came in, but they haven't really been baiting them out there. So.
Yeah.
But we had fun. We shot a lot of guns. That was fun.
Hey, you can't hate on that.
Right?
That's always fun. Yeah. Little gun action. Eat some good food. I hope everybody is enjoying their summer. It's been wild.
Yeah.
The whole thank you to everybody that reached out. We're hours from there, from where all the stuff goes down. But everybody knows people that were affected by it. The flooding here, the flooding in other states.
It's insane, right? When you watch the videos of the time lapse of like how fast the water came up, you're like,
Ruidoso got it.
How does that happen with all the dams we have?
I don't know. I'll be your dam guy.
But
take all the damn pictures you want.
Yeah. My heart goes out to the families that were suffering from that terrible, terrible tragedy.
We're
not near there. So thanks a lot to a lot of people that reached out to me. We're hours. Texas is a big state, so that's hours from here.
Yeah, it's about 4 hours from us. Four and a half hours from where we're at right now down there. We just get the hard water, right? Yeah. And the swirling winds. That's what we get dumped around there. Speaking of strange and unfun things, I got something sent to me. Got to share this with you. Michael sent this over, and I don't know what's going on. And this talks about, this went down close to 8 months ago or so, I suspect, in rural western northern Carolina, up in the mountains. He says that they were on their way. He was on his way to get some tacos in his mom's Fiat.
Yeah.
Racing around in the Fiat. Is that what they use in, what is that movie? Marky Mark's in it. Remember, and it's a remake where they're stealing the gold from.
No, those are like Mini Coopers.
Is that what that is?
They could be a Fiat. I don't know.
Man, I don't remember. That's all I can think about is them racing around in those little cars, like little go-karts.
Man, that looks like a death trap to me, man.
Well, yeah, of course it is.
I know, I understand. But in like Europe, everybody's vehicle's small. We're in Texas where every vehicle is
smaller.
Gigantic here.
You couldn't take your truck down the road over there.
No. No.
Like, you ought to be ashamed.
And mine isn't even large. I mean, there's guys that, like, really over the top. You're like, really, dude? Is there a monster truck show fixing to happen?
Yeah, what's happening? Yeah.
Anyways, yes, go ahead.
This dude's doing a Fiat 3-point turn when the headlights shone out on an extremely tall, emaciated humanoid. Said this thing was completely hairless. Get a load of this. No nose, no mouth. Its eyes were empty black sockets, estimating that its height was around 12 to 15 feet tall. Weight, extremely long arms and legs, a narrow torso. Goes on to say that we made what I felt was eye contact. And when it realized that I saw it, it turned and ran off into the woods. Now,
hold on, let me mark this on my map here. Northwest Carolina?
No, rural western northern Carolina.
Okay, don't go there.
Don't go there.
I got it circled.
Yeah, and that's what it says. Like, hey, look, said I got out of there terrified. Said I was afraid that thing would come back, the whole deal, but said I never saw it. Once I got back with the tacos, all I'm saying is maybe you should ask if it wanted a taco. I mean, like, dude, everybody likes tacos.
If you're packed into that tiny little Fiat, you're like a can of sardines for that thing, right? You just peel that door open.
Just shove its long spindly arm right through the windows and get you. It's like a bone demon thing. Anyway, first of all, I get to thinking about this. I remember they're called watchers. Remember, we've talked about them. There's crawlers and there's watchers. Mm-hmm. So these big, tall watchers, if you're tall, thin, what you could easily blend in behind trees. You could eat, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just leaning in and out of there. It sounds more like a, what is that? I got something on my microphone. It sounds more like a, what we refer to as a watcher than a pale crawler or anything like that. But have you ever seen the Savannah Bananas?
Yeah, the baseball team.
You know the dude on the stilts?
Yeah.
That's what I think of. Yeah, that's a good point. You're like, you know how terrifying it would be to see something like that in a field moving? But that's a dead giveaway. Watch that dude on stilts move.
Right, yeah, you can
tell.
That's
how people, humans move on stilts.
Right.
When something moves with, like we've talked about, its gait, you know, you always try to notice the gait. When the gait of this creature looks fluid and normal, that's when I get really a little worked up.
Yeah, me too. Cam, I know you like flying humanoids, so I got a quick story for you. Check this out. It says, though I've spoke of my encounter at least 1,000 times, I've always attributed the sightings to a giant owl or bat of some kind.
Ooh.
I realized today that this creature was way too big to be any bird. In the fall of 2011, my brother-in-law and I were sitting around a small bonfire in my backyard on a beautiful Indian summer night, enjoying what was left of the nice weather. All of a sudden, my brother-in-law whispers, "Dude, check that out." I slowly turned to look toward the south, where he seemed to be focused, and asked what he was looking at. He said, "Look at that big oak, two houses down." I did as he stated, lining me up using a few landmarks, and just then I noticed what he was looking at, about 25 feet up in a tree. This huge creature seemed to kind of jump, maybe dead drop out intentionally, I don't know. It fell forward, spreading or opening what looked like bat wings, or possibly a cape. Then a set of wings. The wings never crossed or even flapped before this thing disappeared behind the fence. In other words, it glided from at least 25 feet up, almost straight down until it disappeared behind the fence. There was no noise from the tree branches, not a crackle from the leaves it landed on, nor a sound of anything. None at all. It was dead silent. Needless to say, we were freaked out. We quickly went inside, trying to rationalize the whole thing. We decided we'd call it a big owl from then on. I've always thought it was something other than a bird, though. He and I will still occasionally joke about that night because of the crazy Batman experience. My other encounter happened several miles from here. I was alone driving to my favorite spot on the Kankakee, I hope I'm saying that right, Kankakee River.
Sure.
Southbound on I-55, crossing the Illinois River Bridge at dawn. Something flew out from under that bridge right across my line of sight, completely covering my windshield, blocking my forward sight for a full second. Then it was gone. In that case, all I know is that this thing was also huge and seemed to be brown in the new morning light. Mike. So they see this impossibly large owl, and I always think of the story your mother told of the impossibly large owl. But, you know, now that he goes back and thinks about it, he's like, man, I don't think it was an owl. But what was it?
I love the idea of there being, like we talk about, like Jeepers Creepers, but of different sizes. I don't mean the idea of taking people. I'm just talking about the idea of it being something that's like that, like a small, like, why can't there be small flying humanoids? Like, why can't there be, like, small gargoyles?
Yeah.
The witness. And is a gargoyle the girls? Gargoyles. It's goyles. It's gargoyles and gargoyles.
Maybe. I don't know. They said that the size of this thing, this owl, whatever it was about 6 feet in height.
Oh, my bad.
He said it was definitely humanoid with legs attached and legs and arms attached to these bat-like wings.
Would you be more afraid seeing something that was like roughly your size that was like that than you would see something so huge, like a 12 footer? Because I think part of me, if I saw something the size of like 12 foot, I would be in such shock trying to rationalize the height, right? I would be like, this can't be real. I think I would be more afraid if you would see something the same size as you or roughly the same, because it feels, this sounds ridiculous, but it feels like when the devil comes calling, right?
Yeah.
You've seen the prophecy.
Yeah.
It's Viggo is more terrifying because he looks just like one of you, or Al Pacino, right?
Right.
Pacino is great because He's just one of you guys. It's more terrifying, I think, than it would be if it would be huge, because it would kind of, it's almost like knocking you out of the realism of the event.
Right. Yeah. No, the prophecy was good. I liked it. He was eating those roses and stuff. Mm-hmm. They made several sequels, but those were.
Don't watch those.
Yeah. Those were. The first one. The first one was awesome, though.
The first one was great.
Anyways, I've got one more for you.
Yeah.
This took place in Kenosha, Washington, or Wisconsin.
What, you just started, you just picking the hardest places to pronounce?
Man.
Is that what you were doing today? You were like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a jackass out of myself today. I'm going to try to find some words I can't pronounce.
Well, it's hard for me to pronounce. I'm sure the locals have no problem at all. But they have problems with other cities down here, like Mahia and stuff, right?
Saxy.
Right. You know, Gulf of Weight, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, it says, a friend and I were in Kenosha, Wisconsin, on our way to Northern Illinois, where we lived at the time, after getting tattoos. It was somewhere between 2 and 3 a.m. I remember before approaching the train tracks on a road near downtown, my friend and I noticed a man-like creature with wings cross the street slow enough for us to be able to see him. He saw the shape and figure of what it was, but in an instant it was gone, as if it was never there to begin with. During the four-hour drive back home, we discussed that thing that we had seen and what the heck was it. Now, keep in mind, we both had seen it regardless if it was the late night or the lack of sleep. We still can't explain the fact that we both saw the same thing. I've been curious to the possibility of a creature or a human-like being even existing. But now, after listening to your show and reading other articles online, I am more interested now than ever. Thanks, JV. So, another man-like bat thing. Like you said, Jeepers Creepers.
Man-bat thing.
Remember there was that huge flap that took place, and luckily enough, we were podcasting during the wave.
Oh, yeah. Lawrence got it all.
There in Illinois, in that area, in Ohio. I mean, they're just, people were seeing flying humanoids like every 3 days.
Well, and I think it's still going on, too. That's the crazy part, is it sounds like there's still sightings that go on, but it's almost commonplace. Like people see stuff all the time around the O'Hare Airport. Why does this thing swing like this, Kyle?
I don't know.
I have done something to my microphone stand, and it's trying to accost me. Yeah, because they still see things like that around the O'Hare Airport.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It shouldn't. None of this should exist, period.
I purposely don't fly to the O'Hare Airport. I fly to the Midway.
Well, see, yeah, because you go up there so often. Yeah. You have to worry about that.
I'm just saying, I don't take any chances, right?
What was it that Luke used to always think about? It was a were man. We were afraid of were men getting in, right?
Well, and I remember when he was real little, we were taking a flight up to see family in New Jersey, and we were flying into Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And on the plane,
I remember this.
He was asking where we were landing, and I said Pennsylvania, and he started crying. I'm like, what are you crying for? And he's like, I don't want to go to Transylvania.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, dude, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, dude.
Oh, we're not going to Transylvania? No.
Remember when he was little and he used to think that the full moon would turn you into a werewolf and you would play into it?
Yeah.
He started crying in the yard. You were going, and he ran in the house, closed the door. He's like four. Kyle's acting like he's turning into a werewolf.
He still is obsessed with horror movies.
That's you and your wife's fault.
Not me. I don't watch them that much.
But you played into it.
Sure I did. My dad used to do the same
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's your fault.
He's got some crazy.
Pop?
No, Luke. He's got some crazy movie he wants me to go see with him next week. I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's like it's a spinoff of Bambi, but it's like a demonic.
Well, because he's seen the demonic blood and honey deer thing. Yeah. He's seen them all.
He wants me to see it because he says he wants me to think about it when I'm hunting. And I'm like, okay.
He's getting you back.
I get scared of stuff when I'm out hunting, but it's never deer.
It's so great.
And the deer aren't scared of me either. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm not a danger to them at all.
I'm just like warning them. I like to shoot arrows near them. Just go, see, I could have got you.
Right. I'm just giving you a chance to get away. Oh, you rascal. Hey, I got one thing. If this stupid microphone will quit moving around, I got a story I want to share with you. I don't know who sent this in. I've had this for a while. Going through a bunch of the stuff that I'd emails and things. I don't remember where this came from, but I remember this story. And after reading it, I remember browsing over this. People were talking about things that they had, strange things that they had seen while they were either on the lake, on the, you know, out on the sea, no matter what, Great Lakes, no matter where it was at. There's a story that we got here that says on a 41-foot sailboat in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay with about seven other men doing a shakedown test cruise planned to be out for about 12 hours. This is the mid-1980s, not as reliable weather prediction resources then. We get caught in a tropical storm. winds gusting into the 50 mile an hour range, just this short of a weak hurricane. Okay.
Okay.
We had just barely rigged storm hawsers and storm sails because one fellow on board, who was the best sailor, sensed the storm was almost on us. Otherwise, we probably would have died. Now, during the storm itself, I expected to die at any time. In fact, we made a, we need help, like a secure it, whatnot call on the radio. And said, if you have time at sea and you know what I'm talking about, if not, it's really not that important. But it says, for what seemed like 15 minutes, we were in a maelstrom, no visibility, and then it passed. We would live. This was about 3 p.m., and although there was cloud cover, of course, the ambient light was such that you could see 2 miles or so in any direction. Now, if you're familiar with the sea, you know that such storms, particularly in the shallower depths near land masses, dredge up a lot of things from the sea floor.
Mm.
So we're all on deck, working lines, checking damage, etc., and the bay around us is choppy and churning and foaming. Old-timey sailors often used to say the sea is confused. I look about 15 foot off the starboard side and something swims to the surface. Breaks the surface, looks at us, then submerges again. It was like a thin man with humanoid shapes, arms articulated just like a man. It had a human head, but its skin was covered in scales like that of a snake. Now it looked at us, blinked its weird, heavy-lidded eyes, then dove back under. So, maybe you need to know a few things about me at that moment. No drugs, no alcohol, no injuries. I was elated because I was glad to be alive, but my senses in that situation were sharpened, not dulled. I had, at that time, about 6 years' experience on ships and fishing boats and had seen squid, octopi, flying fish, sharks, snakes, and etc. all around the world. And I was not the type of guy to see a patch of seaweed and call it a sea monster. So I made an instant decision that I was not going to say anything. What could I say? I just saw a strange creature. Take my word for it. The men on this boat were all mechanics and engineers and professionals. Why get a reputation as a flake? So at the time, it was important for each of us to just get on, get the skipper, get our qualifications. Saying something like that would be frowned upon. As I stood there in my life vest, soaking wet, hooked onto the steel lifeline, glad to be alive, one of the other sailors come over with 30 years experience. And on the, this is a sailor that was in the U.S. Navy at the time, or had been in the U.S. Navy, now is doing all this stuff, said, comes up there, and he said, I just saw a brown thing pop up on the surface. It looked like a lizard man with a scaly face. It blinked at us with those big eyes, and it went back under. I said, yeah, I saw it too. No one else said that they had seen it. And then we sailed back to the pier later that day and never spoke of it again.
A merman.
Some crazy, snake-skinned, big-eyed merman churned up from a storm in the bay in Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, like a creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Can you imagine there's something like that down at the bottom and it got churned and dredged up?
Well, I think that stuff's in the water all the time. That's why I don't like the water.
What would you do, though, if you really saw that? Like, you literally would be like, man, what am I witnessing? And you'd forever the rest of your life think that, man, mermaids are real. I saw it.
I'm afraid it would be one of those deals to where I would talk myself out of it. Like, you would see it, and then over time, you would convince yourself that you didn't, that it was something else, right?
Yeah.
Because you're wanting to do that. You're wanting to be like, I did not just see the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
But no, that's exactly what you just saw. I don't know. Like we always bring up, certain places feel like there should be something like that there. And to me, those kind of creatures feel like in the ocean. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I would believe that. Somebody said, yeah. I mean, we know so very little about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
So, folks, I got a good one coming up for you. I'm going to drop a little sneaky on you. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, you'll be listening to some fun that Kyle's drug out that we want to share with you guys that a lot of y'all probably not heard. So when we get back from the break, you're going to be listening to some strange stories that I dropped that took place around rivers, in and around some rivers. So we got more crazy water stuff. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
summer episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor. Now, we always wanted to have an official snack sponsor, and now we got one, Cam.
Yes!
IQ Bar is better for you. It's plant protein-based snacks made with brain-boosting nutrients to refuel, nourish, and satisfy hunger without the sugar crash at the end. IQ Bar is totally free from gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, and artificial sweeteners for a natural anytime snack. Try 9 delicious flavors, including mint chocolate chip, chocolate sea salt, banana nut, toasted coconut chip, lemon berry, and peanut butter chip. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are starting their days on the right foot with IQ Bar's brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and your wife's favorite, mushroom coffees.
Oh, gosh, she's got it bad.
Man, they sent us this, the ultimate sampler pack. I gave some to my dad. I gave some to my wife.
What's Pop think?
He loves it. I mean, he loves it. Like I talked about, it's hot outside, so I like using the hydration packs. They got great flavors like passion fruit, blood orange, pina colada, lemon lime. My favorite, raspberry lemonade.
Of course.
Blueberry pomegranate. And, of course, my wife likes the peach.
You do mango. Enjoy a pomegranate.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I prefer raspberry is my favorite.
That's fruit. Your go-to?
That's my favorite fruit on the planet. Raspberries. Yeah. I love it. But they have the mushroom coffees, and your wife likes those?
Dude, she's got it bad for them. Yeah, like she can't function. Like she starts her day with the mushroom coffee. That's
I've never had mushroom coffee, but I'd be willing to give it a try.
It's good. It's good. But, I mean, like that's like... Like you were talking about the bars. I've always made jokes about the mint chocolate chip, but they have like the almond chip. The almond chip bar that is outstanding that they make in this too.
I think the thing I like about it is how similar it is to a candy bar, one that's not good for you.
Yeah.
Because so many times you eat the gluten-free ones or the sugar-free, and it's like they're hard.
Yeah.
Very dense.
And I don't like fake sugars.
I don't either.
The flavor, everything. I really, really do enjoy this. Folks, and right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all of their IQ Bar products. All right? Great. You're going to get that plus free shipping. How much did you ask? Free, y'all. Free. That's right. So to get your 20% off, it's easy. Just text EXPANDED, right? Mm-hmm. EXPANDED. Just text EXPANDED to 64,000. You text EXPANDED to 64,000. I'm going to tell you again. That's EXPANDED to 64,000. With that, you're going to get 20% off all your IQ Bar products and free shipping. Message and data rates may apply. See the terms for details.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I can't wait to hear these stories. I love the stories of the bizarre, the ghost, and the things. And for whatever reason, something around... I don't like water cryptids, but I like stories around water.
Right, yeah.
And I know the water terrifies you, so yeah. It's even better to watch you cringe as you hear this stuff.
When I'm looking through... And I think that may be my fascination. You know, I really do. I think that's a part of it. Like, I love the idea of ghost ships, and I love the idea of, like we've discussed, of along the beaches, of them seeing the ghosts of Native Americans or the ghosts of shipwrecked, you know, and all that. I love these ideas along the water like that, and I don't know why it is. I think it has to do, like I said, with my fears. And what's funny is I'm not afraid of water. I'm afraid of what lives in the water. That's the problem. That's the thing that gets me all freaked out the most. So,
but you don't even like swimming in swimming pools. No, you can see
no,
in that.
No, I don't get in hot tubs. I don't get in none of that stuff. I don't take a bath. I take showers. You're right. You're right. Yeah, but here's the crazy thing. I work in the water department, baby.
Yeah.
So I know it's crazy.
Now, that's not ironic. I don't know what is. Yeah,
right? I know it's crazy, but that's just how it is. I'm going to start off with one in California. There's one in Mono County, California called the Owens River, and it's grasslands along the banks. It's very pretty, but there's been some strange things reported along this riverbank area. And they say what it is mini whirlwinds, which doesn't sound like much. Nothing. You know, we've all seen the little dust devils or dirt devils, as we call them down here, look like little mini tornadoes. That's kind of what they're talking about. You know, 10 or 12 foot tall little whirlwinds. And I'm sure with the heat and all the change in temperature and whatnot along the river, and especially there in California, you're going to get these. That's why we get them, you know, in the summertime, the way they work up. The difference is this. People that have had it happen to them report that there's a very deep sense of evil and a disturbed feeling to your body accompanied with these whirlwinds when they pop up. They say it's without warning and it hits, and there's a really unsettling feeling when they're around you. And not even that. Some have even reported that when they envelop you, like you're there fishing or whatnot, and boom, you get hit with one, that while you're in it, they say you can hear a very creepy laughter, something laughing, really disturbing. They even say this, that it'll knock people down. It's like it's not strong until it gets on you. Boom, it knocks you off your feet. People have reported that they have a desire to hurt yourself. You feel like it's something, so it's almost like, is it an evil spirit? They don't know. An evil wind that's coming along. I think the laughter may be your friends laughing at you, because I know mine would laugh at me.
Right.
But you can't explain the idea of like why people have said, look, I felt like when I was in it, I'm knocked down. It's like I feel the need to hurt myself. It's like a demonic entity that's in that. So I got to looking around in there. Well, there's a few roads. It's right in there along this area. Whitney Portal Road is the only road in Lone Pine that crosses Highway 395 there at a stoplight. And it heads west out of Lone Pine, which is right there where this river cuts through and the Owens River comes through there. It also plays host, they say, to phantom battles between ghostly Native Americans and U.S. soldiers. So there may be a little bit of background there. It says this, that it was actually populated, this whole through area, by Paiute Indians. And in the 1860s, around 1860, a lot of settlers started moving in there with some cattle and sheep, you know, so that they're moving westward, the expansion. Well, they went to pushing into the tribe's lands. Well, that never works out great. So in the winter of 1861 and into 1862, the Native Americans started having issues with food sources. Why? Well, because the settlers are in there. They're hunting. They're pushing all their critters in there, you know. They're just pretty much driving things out. Well, on the brink of starvation, they start turning into slaughtering and eating the cattle and the sheep that the settlers brought in. Well, what's that start? That starts the Owens Valley Indian War. Right after that, fires up. Now, during this war, there was a battle that is fought on what is now thought to be present-day Whitney Portal Road. And over all these years, there's been a lot of residents have had what they say is this, a very disturbed thing going on around them, that they have looked outside their house and out their windows and can see at certain times battles taking place, war going on outside their windows, like you're watching it through a TV screen.
That's insane.
One even reported in the 1960s that a woman that lived on the road said she started hearing gunfire one evening. So she looks out of her window. She hears it. She doesn't know what's going on. Starts checking it out. She saw what she said was a black man dressed as an Indian warrior. And this fella glanced back at her and then didn't even bother her. He said, didn't bother her or confront her. Just looked back over his shoulder at her. That was it. She goes on to say that she watched he was joined by several additional Indians, and they were all hiding behind a tree, you know, crouched down and had rifles, started reloading and shooting right in front of her. It's like she's watching a video. She says this, that the gunfight with whatever they were having a gunfight with went on for approximately 15 minutes, but none of her bullet never hit the house. So she hears the bullets, that she hears the gunfire, the reports. She sees all this going on. All this is, all hell's breaking loose right outside her house. She doesn't know what's happening. And then snap of a fingers, she looks and they're gone. Nothing. Total silence. Everything's gone again.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, it says that this is, what's funny is they report that this is a common thing. You think it's crazy. People that lived in this area report this as a common happening among the people. And they said there's even women that are other women and men that have lived in that area that have heard this. They believe that the black man that she witnessed and other people witnessed was an ex-slave that had ran away and was living amongst the Native Americans. And they've even gone on to say that there were old bullet holes discovered in the direction that these ghosts had been firing. So they would go and look in the trees, and they've even found areas and stuff and all this where in that direction they had been shooting. So it's like a replay. You're watching a DVR loop replay of what's happening.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, they also go back to say, back when trains ran along this Lone Pine area and the rest area, that four passengers on one of the trains, all in different parts of the trains, witnessed a full-on, what they said, ghost battle taking place near Owens Lake. Now, Owens River dumps into Owens Lake. Okay.
Right.
With this battle, it says Native Americans were battling American soldiers, and there were sounds of horses and gunshots going on. The passengers all heard, and they all claimed that the men and the animals that they were riding all looked real, like what they were seeing was actually happening in front of them. They even report that not only Native Americans were being shot and killed in battle, but so were the soldiers were being shot and killed in battle. They finally get to Lone Pine, they all come out of the train cars. They start telling people. They realize, oh, man, more than one person saw it. You know, we've had multiple sightings of what's happened here. Well, they find out that there was a battle 60 years before, while they were on that train, 60 years before that there was actually a battle had taken place right there near Owens Lake. So it's like they were actually watching a replay. Now, they say if you go down Whitney Portal Road, you'll arrive in Alabama Hills. And they go into a legend of what they say is this ghostly Indian. That's a legend of, they call him Rescue Man or Indian Jim. And they say Jim was a gold prospector. And he died in the 1940s up in the mountains. He was trapped from a blizzard. Temperatures got too low, froze to death. They claim now that Jim, while he's still in those mountains, he helps people who were in the hills right before storm hits. Says he'll show up and he warns them to race back in the town while they still can. And people have reported running across him. And it also said that the spirit of Jim had another friend named, a Native American friend named George. And that George had been up in the hills looking for tungsten when Jim was in front of him calling his name.
Hmm.
And said Jim warned George to get gone, get out of here, get back towards the Lone Pine. And of course he goes down there and George reported that if he hadn't have gotten out of there at the time he did, that he would have died. So that's kind of why they gave this fellow the name of Rescue Man. There's a whole bunch of stuff. There's stories from the 1870s of Native Americans that lived along Hogback Creek in that area, just right outside of Lone Pine. And that they thought it'd be a wise thing to do. They're probably hungry. The thing's going. They're going to actually attack a shipment of gold that was being sent to the U.S. Army as payment. They're going to go pay the troops. They're like, hey, we'll just get in between it. So what do? The thieves bring it back to the rest of the Native Americans there at Hogback Creek. Their leader, of course, the story goes, he didn't authorize this war party. He didn't know anything about it. They just thought it'd be a good thing to do. Well, he freaks out, right? Because not only is he afraid that the U.S. Army's coming, but now he's afraid that there's going to be a lot of bandits and whatnot that's out there is going to hear about this, and they're going to realize they didn't have anything to do with it. Somebody else did, and they're going to come crashing down on them and take it.
Right.
So the story goes that he buried $10,000 in gold in that area, right there where they were camping, and that he sent one of his men to watch the location of the gold so that no one would go near it, and that no one in the group was allowed to ever talk about this that had this thing going down. Story says that 25 years later, there was, and the Native American guard was, of course, like the story says, in his 60s at the time this happens, was still protecting this buried gold. And that Lone Pine had grown in size, and that a nearby white settlers moved in and decided that the firehouse needed to be built. So on the spot, this Native American was protecting. The story says that he wasn't thrilled about the new building being built there, covering what he was going to be guarding, and that he was denied access to the land. He got upset, and he got shot during all this and was buried by the other Native Americans there in that area. But they say that even after he was dead, that he's still protecting this. And it said that the main group there that presided over the burial said that the spirit of the man, they asked him to come back and to continue his job. And that's why they say that the firehouse where this is built is haunted by the spirit of this Native American, that the others said, you know, we know you got shot, but come on back and finish your work. Come on and keep working there. So you can go into crazy stories like that. It's all along this river. Well, that's not it. I found another place that's up in North Carolina. Now, this place is known, they say, for great kayak fishing, which is what got my ears perked up. And it's called the Tar River. Now, the Tar River is home of a banshee. Yeah, this is how it goes. That during the Revolutionary War, a native of England named Dave Warner adopted this area there on the Tar River as his home. And he opened a mill right there. He said he was very sympathetic to the cause of the new nation, so he used his grain to help a very young army. Story says that Warner was a very large man, big, muscular fella, jet black hair, long black beard, massive muscles. And it had all been because he had worked out growing up, basically lifting flour, heavy work, big bags, what they say, of flowers all day. So in August of 1781, a townsman rode to the mill with a warning for him, said that the British were near and that they knew Dave was a rebel and a supporter of the rebel. And the man told Warner to close his mill and get the heck out of here. Well, Dave laughs at him. He's like, nah, I'd rather stay. And he said, I think I'm going to end up wringing a British neck or two when you get him over here. So said the townsman in the area tried to get him to leave. Said, you got to get the hell out of here. But he's like, no, I'm not going. Story says the British rode up. They busted into the mill. And they found both Miller and the messenger trying to get every ounce of grain they could out of there. Well, the redcoats attack old Dave, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And while he was, of course, a big fella, said his five or six dudes jump him, he can't fight them all off. So they want to drown him in the river. That's what the whole idea is. So he says, well, he countered his own warning. He said, if you throw me in the river, you British cowards, he said, but be warned, if you do, that there's a banshee will haunt you for the rest of your days, and that she lives down at this river. And when the moon is black, and the river's like ink, and the mist is so thick you can cut it with a sword, you can see her floating from shore to shore. And if you kill me, she'll get you. Well, of course, those guys were freaked out. The soldiers were like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't know if we're going to drown this fella, right?
Right.
So one of them said, I tell you what, let's just wait, let the commander decide what we're going to do with this fella. So another one spoke up and said, you know what? Let's just drown him like we planned. And said, after all, you know, they were all charged for making it safe. This is what we're told to go do. These are what we have to follow. Just drown him. Well, convinced by his words, the others agreed that they'll just kill him. So they chained him up to some heavy stones and, of course, throwed him in Tar River. So Dave's at the bottom of the river. The story goes that as he sank into the water and went out of sight, that down the river you could hear the blood-curdling scream of a woman coming from down that river like she was in pain. It also goes, well, now, of course, these are the old tales that you get passed on, which is what makes it great. It's the story. You never let the truth stand in the way of a good story.
That's right.
It says just then that the mist began to float up from the river, and the soldiers claimed that it took the form of a woman with long hair, just like old David described her. And that they all freaked out, took off, headed back to camp. They said it was late by the time the commander got there. You know, he's bringing up the rear, doing all this. So by the time he got there, the story says that the river is black as ink, you know, because it's dark. It's midnight. The water looks black. The enlisted men that were camping there by the river had actually moved away from the water and were staying in the mill house at this point. Story says that there was a real bright yellow moon that had came out, and it was real creepy down there. And again, after everybody was settled in, you could hear the screams of a woman in the middle of the night. So by this time, the people that had just gotten there didn't know what had gone on, so they went down to the river to find out what had happened. Like, what is all this? Well, that's when the other guys went to saying, hey, look, we killed the old boy, and this is what he told us. So they had confessed everything of what they had done. Well, ashamed of what they had done, he ordered them, the commander ordered them to remain at the mill working right there. He's like, no. For what you guys have done, you're going to stay here. You know, so undoubtedly they got their wires crossed and they didn't want him killed. They just wanted him captured because they were going to pry him for more information. The story goes on, of course, that they worked until one night the banshee appeared in the doorway. She pulled her veil off. She had this horrible face, and one of the men fell to his back, and the story says that she drowned him. Boom, she drowned him. Another man again, dragged to the water, drowned. Another man again, went mad, freaked out, ran off into the dark. They didn't know where he was at. They looked for him for 2 or 3 days. They found him finally later up in the river, floating again, dead. It goes on. The whole month of August, these guys died one by one in the river. Goes on. So they always talk about that, and they say that if you don't go down to the Tar River in this area, wherever it's at, in August, that nobody should go down there. That's the old wives' tale. You know, that's the old story that you get in the urban legend, that if it's real, that's the whole thing. Don't go around it because there's a banshee that protects that area. Now, the crazy thing is this. He never said she would go away. If the story goes, she may never leave. You know, I mean, it's just like he's cursed her. It sounds to me like the story he was telling, that he knew she was already there. And he was right, just like, yeah. You know, maybe he had an agreement with her. You feel me? Maybe it's kind of like that Marie Laveau song. He just had an agreement with her. Everything worked out. There's another one in Maryland called Rock Creek. So it goes on, and it's known as Monassee River. And this Rock Creek, there's a lot of ghost stories that take place there because there was a large number of casualties during the Civil War. When I say a large number, they believe somewhere around 50,000 soldiers died along the banks of that river during some of the hot battles in that area. Yeah, so 50,000 is one thing. Now, a lot of people discuss what you and I've talked about with Gettysburg. They still see a lot of spirits up and along that stretch of river. Another thing that we've talked about too, and this has the Lagoure Bridge that goes across that. And there's been a lot of ghost hunters on there, and you can go back and look up this. We've even discussed it in past episodes before. But it was built around 1900, and it's real famous as a suicide bridge in that area too. There's numerous accidents and injuries took place while they were building that bridge that people built along beside this reputation that it was the sinister creatures that are trapped along that thing, the demons, the ghosts, whatever it is, are the ones that are responsible for these injuries, these accidents, all the stuff that happens. There's even there's even tales that fishermen will fish. They love it. It's supposed to have really good trout fishing in this area, like really good trout fishing in this area. But fishermen won't go near it in the dark. Like they'll go, and then once it starts getting dark, they leave. Now, that could just be, like I said, all part of the story. We don't really, really fully know. You know, there's so much to this whole thing. But then there was another one there. Mendocino County in California is called the Russian River. Now, this is really strange because there are people talk about ghosts that appear right after dark along this river. And some say that these ghosts are small children and that when you sleep along that river, the small children will slip up and pull your teeth. You'll wake up with missing teeth. Yeah. Now, it goes on that they said that the locals in all this area, they talk about this, and they say it's all stories built from other people, or it's all stories built to bring more people and more traveling and things into the area, you know, to raise money. They want it to be haunted. Some people even say that that it's happened to them. Like, you'll find reports and stuff where people are like, oh, it happened to me, or it happened to my sister, happened to my brother, happened to my girlfriend, you know, different things like that. Other people have reported that they hear the cries of a child, that it's just like by herself that they hear. And that when you find you, people start looking for this little child crying, they up and down the creek banks, they find her. It's a little girl, and they all claim that she has a necklace made out of human teeth. Yeah. Yeah. So it's the whole human teeth thing freaks me out. I have no idea. It's like a ghost child with human teeth necklace is what it is. So you don't really know. Now, of course, look, people will say, oh, you know, it's because she got her teeth knocked out, or, oh, you know, right. Who knows? Like I said, it's all part of the wild story. But I did find this. I'm going to read this to you because this is really strange. It says, I understand that most things written by teens are instantly disregarded as fake or made up. But I am a teen, and I'm not here to troll anyone. And this is my ghost story, and it's a little long. It says, my name is Matt, and this all started about 14 years ago here in Novato, California, when I was 2 years old living with my grandparents, and I noticed a tall, shadowy black figure with a white face standing in the corner. And he said he wanted to be my friend in this gurgly, raspy voice. It's like he was having trouble speaking. And for the next year and a half or so, we spent every day together. He was there when I was awake and when I went to bed, standing over my bed watching me, and I trusted him. And one day, I and my family decided to go to the Russian River. I'm playing in the shallow water of a sandy beach there when the faceless, as I dubbed him, suggests that we play in the deeper water. And of course, being the stupid, naive kid I was, I agreed, and I slowly swam out into the middle of the river until something grabbed my ankle and started pulling me down. When I looked at it, it was faceless, grabbing me, and it had a gnarled, sharp, black claw. I passed out about halfway under the water to him, and when I awoke, my ankle was bleeding, and I was coughing up large amounts of water. Now, to this day, I don't know what caused the attack. All I know is Faceless is still here, and he doesn't seem to like that he's going to be leaving anytime soon. Now, I will share more later, but I have to go to the movies with my girlfriend. And that's the way the story ends. So, this kid is acting like he's got some sort of interaction with a shadowy figure. The shadowy figure goes with him to the river. My thing is this. Could this kid, this faceless thing that he's got tagging along with him, is it because he can see them, he can interact with them, and there is something evil in that water? Was he bringing the kid to whatever's evil in that water? Or was because he can interact with these things, whatever's in that water decided he wanted him for himself. I'm going to take him. Either way, if the kid sees one, you know, it's odd. It's that odd to me how he just talks like it's nothing. Oh, it's still here. You know, it doesn't seem like it's going nowhere. He's just hanging out. This is where he's going to be kicking it. Now, of course, we talked about the Tom Bigbee River in the past through Mississippi and Alabama. The reason I said we've talked about this is the ghost ship, the Eliza Battle. You know, that's where this all went down on the Tom Bigbee, was the Eliza Battle. 1858, 33 people killed. Countless more because of the fire on that river, that big steamboat. Remember all that? You've discussed it. We've discussed it It's crazy. So that's another thing. There's a lot of sightings of the Eliza Battle on the water, sightings of ghosts in and around that area, the appearance of the burning ship. People say you can hear the scream still on it. That's something that's pretty, you know, I wouldn't say normal, but it seems to be a pretty well given anytime we have these old ship sightings is it's almost the same thing. You see the ship, you hear the screams. The thing that makes it interesting to me is whenever there's always ships involved, it's almost, and this is something I haven't touched on, along the areas where they would dock, where they would port, even on, there's a lot of ghostly encounters. So it's almost like the ghost got off the ghost ship, and then that's as far as they went. They're still locked to the banks. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know what I mean? If we're kicking it around there. And then last but not least, I'm going to talk about a place that's said to be great fishing for salmon and steelhead. It's in Washington. It's called the Green River. And I bring up the Green River because Gary Leon Ridgway, who was born on February 18th of 1949 in Salt Lake City, Utah, well, he was the fella that's responsible for the Green River killings. He's known as the Green River Killer. And, of course, he worked as a truck painter, you know, painting job. That's what he did, painted vehicles for 30 years. Married three times, religious fanatic, and a frequent customer of prostitutes. He started killing women in 1982, young runaways and prostitutes. They started disappearing on Route 99 there in King County, Washington. Now, it says that he brought many of them to his house where he killed them. And then he would leave them in the woods in these remote sites. And then these bodies started turning up along the Green River. Like I said, he was dubbed the Green River Killer. Now, he wasn't caught until 2001. And it's whenever the sheriff, Dave Reichert, which was the first officer assigned to the case in 1982, he called a meeting. They started looking at the evidence. They got some DNA testing. The DNA is how it was. They produced a match between some evidence of the victims and Ridgway. He was charged with four counts of aggravated murder in December of 2001. He eventually pled guilty to 48 counts of aggravated first-degree murder. Now, he was facing the idea, or the prospect, if you will, of execution, Gary was. So he decided, hey, look, I'm going to make a deal. So he started telling them where he had hidden the bodies of these other young women who had never been found. And, of course, you know, he was agreeing, look, I'll plead guilty to any of the future cases, you know, you can, you know, put them all together, the whole thing, as long as you don't kill me. So they said, okay, we're going to sentence you to life in prison. So he got sentenced in 2003 of life in prison. And they believe that he's committed more murders than any other serial killer in U.S. history. Now, there was an additional body found in 2011, and Ridgway received another life sentence. And then in 2013, he had claimed, he did an interview, and he claimed this, that he had murdered 75 to 80 women. And there was a lot of speculation that he was telling the truth. So they don't really know if he was doing it to try to get more attention, you know, try to get that everybody to praise him. He wants that record, you know, he wants to have that whole deal. I'm not going to get in too deep with this whole thing of the Green River Killer. It might be something that we touch on later. It's very disturbing when you get into what he did. It's not just like he was mad and he killed him and that was it. But that's where we're going to leave, is what he did. Now, I've never been there myself. You know, I've never been to Washington. I don't know what it's like up there. I don't know how pretty, how not pretty. So I can't really comment from personal experience. But I have read this, where people now don't even like to venture down to that area of the river at all anymore. There's been many reports. A feeling comes over these people of a very foreboding darkness. And a lot of people talk of cold spots along the bank. And some even say that they get this feeling of darkness or heaviness in the woods surrounding the river. And some say this, some even report on this, that it's somehow it's like the river remembers and it wants more.
Thank you. allowed to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And there we have it, y'all.
Yep.
Crazy river stuff.
Yeah, man. Speaking of rivers, I mean, just with the flooding of the rivers down here recently, you know, when you think about rivers, a lot of things that happen there, like what I mean is like if there's spirits or anything like that, it would be around rivers because if you just go back 200 or 300 years, we didn't have all these stock tanks and lakes around here. Like literally the natives, they had to live along the Brazos River, the Trinity River, the Paluxy, the Colorado.
Yeah, nothing
the
was Red damn, River. I mean, created anything.
So that's why you always find pot shards and arrow tips and stuff. It's always along rivers, right? That was truly... Because you got to think the river system was different as now because all the rivers are controlled by dams.
Yeah.
But back then, I wonder if, you know, what the rise and fall of those things were.
Well, and of course, probably not as much down here as, of course, when you go up north. But you get up in there and you got to think about all the people that was traveling and the natives and all that, traveling through that area in canoes. Like, it was real easy to hop on the rivers and take it. I mean,
they were like highways.
Yeah, they were just easier ways to travel.
Which is exactly why you find, like, you know, Vikings and stuff traveling all the way up the Mississippi River.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
It is very interesting. And another thing, too, is like... moving water. Remember, there's always stuff about moving water in all of this. Like, oh, it could be a, you know, this could be a portal or this could be this. And this is gonna, there's all that. I don't know. Just something about it. I just like the idea of the stories. Like, and we've covered them before where guys would be like coon hunting or you're camping and you're down in a river bottom. And it's just like that's always where the creepy stuff takes place is down in the river bottom. I don't know why.
It seems like that.
It just seems that way.
Yeah, that's wild. I got a crazy sighting here.
Yeah.
This took place back in 2015. And it's about something that's, you know, described as like a flying manta ray. And we've talked about this a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
So check this out. I said, this is very hard for me to write publicly about. It was so strange that I only told a few people because they just think you're crazy. When you tell them you saw a stingray fly over the street from one bunch of trees to another, I mean, we are in Indiana, nowhere near the ocean, for one thing. But even if we lived by the ocean, why would a stingray fly into the trees? Anyways, this is what I saw. On my way to work one early fall morning in 2015 around 6:30 a.m. It was light enough to see that early morning. Plus, there are street lights up and down the way I drive to work. I'm approaching a four-way stop, and there were no cars around. So I go. I'm looking downhill, following the street and seeing no cars. I glance up a bit, and I see this huge stingray-looking thing fly from one side of the street out of a group of trees. It flies over the street into another group of treetops on the other side. I was astonished. This is the only word I can think of to describe it. I never had much of a reason to use that word, but it sums it up. I was like, OMG. Well, I immediately started praying to the Lord. It was so weird. I felt like I wanted to cry. I was kind of afraid, even though many emotions ran through me after the initial astonishment. I kept asking myself if I'd really seen what I just saw. Over and over and over, all the way to work. Well, for days, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I told a couple people, and of course, they didn't believe me. I started to look at pictures on the internet to see what I might compare it to, and I came across this huge manta ray picture, and underneath it, it states Devil Ray. Then I looked up on the internet about demonic creatures and stingrays. I came up with a bunch of stuff about water spirits. That is what I think it was. Our town has been known to give people the feelings of a demonic hold or something. Now I believe it. This town has all kinds of problems. And if you look up these water spirits, you can see what they bring. Anyway, that's what I saw. Now that I've found your show, I now know that others have seen the same thing. This makes me happy that I'm not completely crazy. Thanks for all you do, T.S.
Awesome.
The sighting of the manta rays. I remember there was one where, I think you covered it. There was like a couple on a beach or something. They were out there at night. It was like a moon full night.
Yep.
And they saw two or three of them.
Yeah.
And it looked like a stingray, the way they look like when they're swimming in the ocean. And I know there's those books that they've written about these creatures living way up in the atmosphere. Maybe sometimes they descend lower.
Well, we got to
do it at night, you know.
I have to try to find it again. We got a story, and now that I remember it, and you and I had discussed it. This has been several years back, where it was a couple had rented like a sailboat, was going to sail like from Florida or something. I forgot what it was, but was basically like sailing up the East Coast, messing around, right, with like just a guy and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they had sent us one where they had seen one night, pretty good offshore, said that they had seen something come under the boat that was glowing like squid. Like the squid sizes, so I'm like a cantaloupe size, right? Glowing spots, and that they would come out of the water 2 or 3 foot and be above the water. And then like they were just transitioning from water to air.
Yeah.
Down through there. Like all, and then just kind of went off in there and went back under. Like it was, they were separate but together in a way. We've got some very crazy stuff that comes like that, to where it's like the manta rays, the jellies, the stuff that like the space things that you see. Now I don't know if it's true or not, but gosh, I sure hope it is.
Well, and that's another thing. Some people are afraid to come forward because there's like, well, this, it's
sounds
crazy.
Too crazy.
It sounds too crazy. And that's the thing. It's like, well, if there's a flying Jeepers Creepers guy, why couldn't there be a flying manta ray?
Yeah. I mean, nothing's.
You start nitpicking. And it's funny when you go to these like cryptozoology conferences, you'll have people that full-heartedly believe in aliens, but they think the Bigfoot people are crazy. And then you get other people that are into Bigfoot and they think that the alien abduction people are crazy. And it's like, what are we all fighting about? We're all talking about things that are unproven.
We don't have any idea, bro.
Yeah. Right? And I'm the same way, though. I catch myself. Like when I.
Well, like here, we always make fun about the lake monsters.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, I'm not playing that. I don't want to hear the lake monsters.
I don't know why. I just like, I don't like that. But if you tell me like about an emaciated pale crawler on the side of the street,
you're like,
oh, please tell me more.
I need to know more about this.
Not that I want to see it, but I do want to hear more. And if you want to share more with me and Cam and the listeners, you can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can also call the hotline 888-393-2783, and you can tell us your story. We would love to hear it. Be as thorough as possible. If you want to help us out, you can always rate and write reviews for us on all the platforms that we're on. And if you want more Expanded Perspectives, you can go to Patreon.
Tell them what's coming up next.
And, I'm doing an episode on some missing children.
More missing people.
Yeah, I love those stories. I don't know why. I'm a sucker for them. But yeah, that's what we're going to be discussing. So you can just go to patreon.com and search up Expanded Perspectives Elite. And there's all kinds of content over there. Cam, what do you got planned for your week?
Staying out of trouble, keeping my nose down, staying out of the heat.
Good.
Getting some stuff done around here, and that's about it.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything real big planned, because in 2 weeks we're going to the Ducks Unlimited Expo.
We got to go back to Memphis, folks. We're going back up to the big expo for DU, and it is going to be a blast. I cannot wait to go up. We don't have to do anything but hang out.
I know. That, and you know what's crazy is the week after that, here is the Hunter's Extravaganza.
Oh, then we got to go check that out.
I haven't been in years, so I'd like to.
Yeah, it's
I'd
been
like
20 to check years it out. Since I've
so I'm going to have more hunting expos in 2 weeks than I've had in 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's coming
in the Memphis area. I believe it's August 1st through 3rd. If you want to come check out some cool, there's going to be all kinds of vendors there.
Yeah.
I can't.
So if you're in the area and you want to come and you like to duck hunt or just the outdoors, you're looking to go see some cool stuff, make sure you go to the DU Expo, and Kyle and I'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be at wherever the DU tent is. I don't know. I don't know if a tent is the problem.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a table or there's a booth or a tent, or and they're going to be recording podcasts there, I think, and stuff all day. So we may pop in and say hi a little bit. So, yeah, we're just going to be up there hanging out.
Yeah, very cool. Let's not forget about our sponsor, IQ Bar.
Bam, bam.
IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping. To get your 20% off, text EXPANDED to the number 64,000. That's right. Text expanded to 64,000. Message and data rates apply. See terms for full details. That's about all the time we have for this episode. Folks, till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.